Earthlings, greeting Earthlings, we have now taken over your radio.
All right, ladies and gents, this is episode 2 of the still as yet unnamed podcast because, well, I'm wasting all my creativity right now on coming up with characters that will never actually make it into one of the books that I'm writing. But still, I mean, that's something. I am your host, Josh Coleman. You can find me on Twitter at 3SOB.
Hey, I'm Ben Fulfer, and I'm at BballHipster. Wait, girls listen to this?
Allegedly.
Ooh, okay. Hit me up.
Yeah. The DMs are open for Ben.
Slide it in.
There you go.
Oh,
there
wait,
you go.
What?
Wait, is that? we'll let that one slide. Okay, so first question of the day that you posed to me just moments ago, and I'll let you ask it again, Ben.
Yes. Okay, so talking about our man, CP3, Josh's favorite player in the league.
Hate him!
We're talking about he's a free agent, so we heard some rumblings that he might go to the Spurs. And Josh retorted with,
is CP3 really going to leave $50 million on the table that he fought for with the most recent CBA?
What? But you can leave Doc Rivers.
Right.
You can go to Pop,
yeah.
Be immediately better. You can get, you know, chase your ring and still get paid somewhat.
I'm sorry, I don't think you understood what I said. $50 million.
Ask State Farm for it.
Yeah, State Farm ain't coming off with that kind of money. And
my retort was, I think he's smarter than that. I think he's smarter than Melo, just chasing the money to sit in a meddling situation, especially if they have to get rid of somebody, right? Like, they can't come back with the same team again. I'm so sick of this rerun.
Once again, I say $50 million. And I get it. I do. We are going to judge him based on the fact that not only has he never won a ring, he's never even played for a ring because he's never even played in a conference championship game.
But he is the best point guard of this generation.
No, I think without question he is.
Do you get sick of being called the best point guard of this generation who can't win and go to shut people up? Because what does Chris Paul like to do more than anything else? Try to shut people up by punching them in the balls.
I was going to say, as long as we've got the punching in the balls thing in there, that's completely accurate. Okay, Mike Conley got tired of being called the most underrated point guard in the league. Mike Conley got paid. Mike Conley doesn't have any regrets about that. He could have gone to the Spurs.
That's true. I think Mike Conley's a different strokes. I don't think he would like to be in prime time all the time. He wouldn't like to
change everything. We're talking about the Spurs. The Spurs are not in prime time all the time.
They do get prime time games. It's just Pop pulls all of his players during those prime time games.
Exactly. You know, saying the Spurs are prime time is like, you know, looking at the, I don't know, being the...
No, it's like watching MASH in prime time now.
Oh, there you go. That's
some people are
going to
enjoy it,
yeah.
But most people are going to be like, wait, this was the most popular TV show of all time?
So in other words, mostly old people enjoy MASH and the Spurs.
Old people and me.
Well, yeah. You're an old soul, so we'll say that counts. But no, if anybody's going to leave money on the table, I think it's Blake Griffin, not Chris Paul.
I don't know if Blake Griffin's going to have a choice. I think it's a sign of trade for him.
Oh, and it very likely could be, depending on where it is that he wants to go.
Right.
You keep bringing up, you know, the idea of Oklahoma City, you know, being a place that he might be interested in going to. Obviously, played in, you know, in college at Oklahoma. It's a hometown kind of thing.
Locate a key dude. He doesn't care about the spotlight. He likes to do his comedy stuff in the off season, a little low key. But like, he is not one for spotlight. From everything I've read, I don't know the dude.
No, but still, I just I. I have a little bit of difficulty with it, although the idea...
Go to a place with a superstar in Russ where you don't have to shoulder low. You can kind of sit in the back and be the second dude.
Yeah. I mean, I could see it.
I don't think he wants to go to New York.
Oh, no. No, he doesn't want to go to New York. I could see him signing that contract to stay in with the Clippers and Doc Rivers shipping him to New York for Carmelo Anthony, and that would be highest of high comedy on all the way around for that one.
Do you think he would sign like James Posey to a 10-day contract just to like for the heck of it, so he could have all those players that he used to love?
Probably. I mean, it seems like his kind of thing to do, so I don't see why not. Which brings up something I have to ask. We didn't talk about it before on KG's Area 21 thing, where he got all of the Celtics players back together. And, of course, they included Big Baby Davis, but continued to shun Ray Allen. Thoughts on that?
Basketball players are petty?
Extremely petty.
We all knew this.
That we knew KG was.
Well, yeah, but I think we also knew Paul Pierce was. Have you seen him over his career, how petty he gets with the Warriors, when he was with the Clippers, with the Wizards, when he called, like, game,
right,
which was classic, and I love it. I love the pettiness. Add more to it. And also, it's funny that they call themselves a family, and then they're and brotherhood, and we're all together, and then they're just like, but that dude, he broke our back by picking to go to a better team and enjoying winning some more.
It was such a Boston response from him, because it's no different than the Boston Celtics fans that this past week were all saying, you know, as soon as they had a good game after Isaiah Thomas gets hurt, oh, well, maybe we should do this without Isaiah Thomas. They're the same stinking people that were calling for Ray Allen's head for leaving Boston to go to Miami.
Yep.
It's loyalty's great and everything until we're done with you, in which case, go ahead, hit the bricks. We don't care about you anymore.
Yeah, and you can't ever blame a player for leaving in free agency. Like, in this league, you can't do it. It does not matter. Like, let the player pick his own. He's a human being.
These
are not pawns. Let him be human beings.
Didn't blame LeBron when he did it. Didn't like the manner he went about it, but I didn't blame him for the reason he did it.
Both times he moved, I thought, were very logical, great moves.
Absolutely.
The problem with the decision was how he presented it, didn't give anyone a heads up,
right,
did it on live TV,
yeah,
showed it up, and then he took on the evil bad guy thing, which was some of the best seasons of NBA basketball.
It was.
But, and even when he came back, everyone in Miami can have a hissy fit. Yes, you had the best player in the world, and you still could have him.
Right.
But the story of him going back home is fantastic.
And
the way he came back home,
It's
fantastic. You can't blame these guys. You can't blame Kevin Durant, even though I wish I would have seen OKC come back with Kevin Durant and fight the Warriors a little bit in this playoffs. Can't hurt the guy. The guy wants to go play easier basketball.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is he saw not just an easier opportunity for a championship. He saw the opportunity for a guaranteed shot at a title.
Yeah.
And you know, you and I have talked about it. I don't blame Durant for that, for the simple reason that what do we judge players on? Rings. So if a guy realized that his career could go the route of Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, John Stockton, Reggie Miller, you know, just go on down the list of these guys that did not win, I don't blame that, you know, blame that on him at all. There's no reason to whenever you recognize that a guy wants to win a title because that's a career-defining thing, whether it happens in the prime of his career or even towards the end of his career. You know, one of the things we can point to for Gary Payton, even though he wasn't a huge contributor, he did win a ring with those Miami Heat teams with Dwayne Wade.
Career, right?
Yeah, Dwayne Wade and Shaq. Now we can say, hey, he got a ring.
Yep. I can't blame Kevin Durant one bit. Also, he's having a ridiculously efficient season. You can see how good he is when everything's easier for him.
Yes. That's the thing. He's still putting up the same amount of points and having to take like three fewer shots to get it. And
like
his
five fewer shots,
Well, it depends. Yeah, we start looking at the number of free throws he's taking, everything else. I mean, it's just
he's
unbelievable.
Not working. Okay, here's it. If whatever you do, would you rather go to another place where everything is easier for you? You can do the same job with more technology or helping you out, more coworkers helping you out or anything. Or would you like to sit there and do all the hard work yourself?
I'm going to take that easier path because I'm always a proponent of work smarter, not harder.
There you go.
So that's it. All right, so that wraps that part of it up. We do know finally that we have Cavs versus Warriors, just as we all suspected it was going to be. This is my doozy of a question that I warned you I was going to have for you. if Steve Kerr is able to come back and coach in these finals, which is still looking kind of iffy at this point, but let's say he is, the Warriors win, and then Steve Kerr retires and never coaches again, where does he rank for you as an all-time coach? Oh. Three seasons, made it to the finals all three, and was within one game of winning three titles in 3 years.
Top 50 coach of all time?
I think he's definitely top 50. I mean, if he wins
but
two titles.
It's harder for me to go on from there.
Right.
Because it's a flash in the pan. It's almost like you put him as like a great college player. A great college player did it for 2-3 years. Like, John Wall is a great college player. He did it for 1 year. Shane Battier, great college player. He did it for much more long term. You know, like Grant Hill did it for 4 years.
Right.
It's more impressive to do it over and over and over. Tyler Hansbrough, I always say, more impressive to see him do it every single year of his college career, even if he fizzled out as a pro. That's probably why he's going to be a Basketball Hall of Fame. I'm not happy about it, but that's probably why he's in. Steve Kerr is going to be... probably would go down as a top 50 coach, but there's that big asterisk to keep him from going higher. You can't jump some of these people, maybe top like 25, but like all those guys are jumbled after like the top cream of the top. Coaches is very much like the top chunk is the top chunks and everybody else is about the same.
What if, and again, we're just, you know, postulating here. Let's say he was able to coach for two more years. And he wins four titles in 5 years.
It's good. It's good. I think coaching is a lot about the coaching wins, longevity, keep on doing it. I think what makes the top of the top good, like Pat Riley, Popovich, Red Auerbach, they did it over so many different like incarnations of teams and things.
Right.
You have this, like if I got to drive a super sports car for a week and a half, it would be cool. But it wouldn't be like having like four super speed cars over my like whole life.
That makes sense. And again, that is one of the things we celebrate most about Greg Popovich is that he took on this team that was already kind of a championship contender with David Robinson and Sean Elliott, Mario Elie, guys like that. And then, of course, they get Tim Duncan, and that transforms them into one kind of a team. And they won using so many different tactics, you know, over you know, the past two decades, whether it was they were the defensive-minded team that was just able to shut you down, then turn themselves into this free-flowing offensive style that, you know, emphasizes the three-point shot, especially the corner three when it's open. And now they've somehow transitioned into a superstar-driven team with Kawhi Leonard.
I saw at the top of the league.
Well, exactly.
You don't understand it. You don't know what this is.
Right.
The Spurs team is. Yeah, I would like to see Steve Kerr do something besides having four of the best shooters ever or this great defense that was ready revved up for him by Jackson.
By Mark Jackson.
By Mark Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to see him do something different. But he is intelligent basketball mind. He knows what he's doing. I think if you watch closely when he was with the Suns, the biggest mistake is bringing Shaq in, but the reason he did that was because of the owner, not the GMing. He wanted to continue to play this type of basketball throughout. So he's a smart dude. Give him all the credit. I would put him very high. I think it's a shining moment of NBA history, but him as a coach needs longer.
No, I can see that, and I definitely agree with that. All right, so in agreement with you there on Steve Kerr, that the longevity's not there, but it's still a very impressive thing for him to have accomplished. So we don't put him in that upper tier. He's not top 10, not top 15, but probably sneaks into that top 20, top 25, somewhere in that neighborhood. Because, again, you go to the finals three straight times as a head coach, I don't care what team you were given. That's impressive.
Right. Cleveland's had three different coaches.
That's true. That's true, and we're not going to rehash that because I still think David Blatt, you know,
as Lou.
I think
better.
As a coach, I think he's better. It's just that LeBron James is the coach of that team.
It's like in high school when like you're really cool and smart, and you do all the same things as all the cool people, but the coolest kid in school just doesn't like you, so you don't get to hang out with them. Am I talking? Is this a little too personal?
I'm thinking that yeah, you might be working through some things right now because I can't really relate to that. But
sorry.
So we'll move on from there. You and I, we talked last week about the fact that, you know, James Jones is clearly, you know, the good luck token for LeBron James.
Seven straight finals. James Jones.
Yes.
I think you have to put that in front of his name. I saw that on Twitter.
Just like it is seven-time All-Star Joe Johnson. Yes. It is now, you know, seven straight finals.
I would credit that tweet to whoever I saw, but I don't remember who it is.
I don't either. I don't know. It probably flashed across my timeline three or four times by three or four different names. So it's fine. But we did have an entertaining conversation about what it is that James Jones does that makes it to where LeBron James keeps him around.
Yes, I think so. There's a lot of speculation, probably, of what does he have on LeBron? Like,
right.
Does he have like a murder rap that like he's keeping under? He has all the evidence for. Does he have like his balls in a jar somewhere?
Right.
Or
who have container in the freezer? Most likely.
Yeah, but I think the more accurate thing, and this is totally speculation and it's reckless, and you know, you can find me at B-ball hipster on Twitter to yell at me, but I'm pretty sure that he's his needle man, right?
I you know, until you said it, I was going the same route as Suicide Squad, Pirates of the Caribbean, that he had LeBron's heart in a container and, and could destroy him at any moment.
Probably likely.
But I do like your idea that he's the Jose Canseco of the basketball world, and he's his needle man.
You know, he has a kit inside of his shorts, and you know, like he like drops a little in his Gatorade or something, because like LeBron cannot be doing what it's not human
right.
to do what he
right.
does without a little help. And that guy being on every single one of these teams and moving into his you know, nursing home whenever LeBron does, all this, like, contractual sign stuff, that he has dirt on LeBron.
Oh, he absolutely has to, and I wonder if maybe it's even a Space Jam type situation to where, you know, it's the special stuff.
He makes the special stuff. He makes it in the locker room. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there has to be another explanation for it, but that's the best one I'm coming up with.
But there has never been more joy in my life as seeing James Jones get on the floor in these playoffs.
Did you see the putback dunk?
Yeah.
I was with everyone else, including, you know, Amin El-Hassan, I didn't even know he was allowed to come inside the three-point line.
No, much less
take a shot from inside.
I thought he had, like, a shot collar, kind of like a dog. Like, if you go inside that three-point line, you're going to be shocked.
No questions. I mean, that had to be what it was. And that might have been the most surprising thing that we've seen of this postseason to this point.
It's probably the most entertaining.
Oh, without question.
There's no doubt that there's not been much entertainment, but we've talked about that in past ad nauseum.
Oh, without question. But bringing up Space Jam reminds me that...
Bring on Space Jam. Go ahead.
You know...
We can talk about Space Jam all day.
ESPN, their writers, sent me this link the other day.
I know.
That they ranked their top 10
basketball films of all time.
Right. But they had some caveats in there.
They did have some caveats.
Yeah. So some of the old favorites are no longer eligible, according to them anyway.
Yes, and I think it's bullshit?
Yes.
I think that's
yes.
what they call them? What they have for their top 10, drum roll please, is they have at number 10 Coach Carter, which is a sneaky good movie.
It is.
I give it to them.
It is. It's
and
a really
it's
good
also
movie.
A prequel to Vince Carter's bio flick
yes.
that's coming up in about 10 years.
Yeah, no question.
Then we have Glory Road, yet another really, really good movie that goes underneath. They have 8. They have Space Jams. Space Jam is 8 on this list.
Okay, so let's start with
the first two is
okay.
But 8, Space Jam.
Go back to their caveats now,
okay.
to where they narrowed down their list, and basically they said, gone are nostalgic mainstays, farewell Hoosiers.
Mm.
All right, now here's where my issue comes in.
Mm.
And I understand, you know, that obviously you take Hoosiers off because there's a lot going on in Hoosiers that some people don't particularly care for in this day and age, to which I say poppycock. But beyond that, if you're going to take off a movie like Hoosiers, but keep Space Jam, which no one has watched in the last 15 years because...
Except Christian Ledlow.
It's an awful movie.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad.
And we're talking about these movies based on their actual basketball that is being played in them. There's no way Space Jam should be in the top 50, much less the top 8.
Right. If you're going with their rules.
Right.
Now, pure basketball movie? It's in my top four.
I mean...
Okay, let's talk to number seven. Number seven is Semi-Pro.
Oh, God.
Which is, yes, probably the best documentary film about the ABA of all time. But if the basketball in there is better than the basketball in Hoosiers, get out.
Exactly.
Get out.
There is no Normandale making them dribble around chairs in Semi-Pro.
Yes, yes. Then you get Forget Paris.
Underrated movie.
Underrated movie. I haven't seen it in forever, but don't remember a lot about it, but sure.
They key in on the best scene in it, which is, you know, Billy Crystal's character giving a technical foul to Kareem, who's on his retirement tour. Everybody knows he's retiring at the end of the year. I mean, it is one of the great scenes, and Kareem tells him, you know, you can't tee me up. I'm on my farewell tour. And Billy responds, well, allow me to be the first to say farewell then. Yeah, it's beautiful. I love it.
Then you have Above the Rim. Good movie. I'm fine with it on this list where it is. Five. Whatever.
My only problem with Above the Rim is the guy that they have as their central character, Dwayne Martin, and he appears in a couple of these movies. He can't dribble to save his life. Oh, he cannot dribble without looking at the ball, and that's an instant no-no for me.
That brings up another whole thing. Actors trying to do athletic things.
Right.
Like, I was watching Libertard the other day, and John C. Reilly trying to be a catcher and throwing it back to the catcher. And,
For love of the game.
For love of the game, yeah. He can't do it.
No.
He can't look natural at doing it at all. It's one of the top...
It's really set off by the fact that Kevin Costner does look like a natural baseball player.
That's true.
You know, so you've got that contrast immediately there.
Yeah.
Number four, Blue Chips, one of my all-time favorites.
Yep. It's fine in the top five for sure.
Yeah. And again, really good actual basketball in there from real basketball players.
Yes.
Shaq and Penny doing Shaq and Penny things, which will never cease to you know, be enjoyable for me.
R.I.P. Love and Basketball. Hey. Yeah, I wish more basketball, less love in that.
Well. Yeah, I mean, I guess so. We have Omar Epps, who I think was in every single movie about any sport through that point. You know,
James Tomlin or whatever, Tomlin.
Doesn't
he coach for Pittsburgh now? He changed his name and he coaches for Pittsburgh? Is that
Mike Tomlin?
Mike Tomlin, that guy, yeah. I don't know anything about football, but I'm pretty sure Omar Epps changed his name and he coaches for...
He finally had to go play a doctor on House to get away from that
I can guarantee you this, that... You haven't seen him in anything since he took over, since Mike Tomlin took over for...
You know, I think you're actually right. I think you are right.
This is going to be like a Joaquin Phoenix-type film.
Right.
That, like, many years down the line, they're like, yeah, that was Omar Epps.
Omar Epps and Mike Tomlin are actually the same person.
Yep.
I like that.
Yep,
I can't wait.
Consider.
We'll go with that.
All right, and the top two are no doubt no-brainers, probably one and two, no matter what, in my opinion. He Got Game... Ray Allen, Holla.
Jesus Shuttlesworth.
Yep.
I mean, the role is so iconic that he actually is known as Jesus Shuttlesworth in NBA circles. I mean, and again, truly good actual basketball play.
My favorite story about that whole thing is when Denzel Washington and Ray Allen go and play one-on-one
right
for the film, Denzel's taking it super seriously.
Oh, of course he is.
And he gets the first bucket.
Yeah.
And he's like, and Ray's like,
what happened?
Yeah. No, Ray gets pissed. And he's like, you're not scoring one more. He's like, oh, I'm beating you.
Right.
Ray goes on to score like 21 straight
sure.
or something like
sure.
that. But that's one of my favorite stories from that film, that Denzel took it straight to a young Ray Allen. And then last but not least, White Man Can't Jump.
As long as we're willing to admit that they played most of these scenes on 9-foot rims, I'm okay with admitting fantastic basketball.
It's fantastic basketball. It's fun.
Not to mention the fact that, what's the guy's name? The one who goes and gets his gun out of the car. It's Marquez something.
Oh, I don't know his name.
An actual NBA player used to play for the Clippers and a couple other teams. Him being included in it. And honestly, Kadeem Hardison's role in it just... makes me laugh every single time I see it. But also, we had, we have the team that they face off with in the Brotherhood 2-on-2 challenge that just talking so much dog shit to each other the entire time. And man, that's what basketball is about to me.
Yep. It reminds me of wanting to go play on the hard court after school.
All right, so you and I are in agreement that Hoosiers should absolutely be on this list somewhere.
I think it's the top five.
Oh, I agree with you.
Especially if you're a basketball player.
I agree.
That jumper, holla. Well, stretch four this year. No question.
Well, do you have the scene with, what's the guy? The guy who played Jimmy Chipwood.
Does he have a name?
He does.
I don't think he has a name.
His name's Marist, something Marist. Anyway, no. I'll look that up at some other point. But anyway, the scene where, you know, Gene Hackman goes to talk to him for the first time, and he's just out there, you know, top of the key, nailing bucket after bucket after bucket, and I'm just like...
And it feels like it's not cutting.
It's not.
It's just...
That was one of the most amazing things that you find out about, is that there were virtually no cuts in that, because the guy was just hitting that shot over and over and over again, and, you know, didn't miss one until Hackman goes to walk off.
Amazing.
And, you know, that's just fantastic. And, of course, you've got Dennis Hopper's role in the movie, you know, so much actual, you know, drama because of that. It's just great.
It's great. It's one of my favorite movies, no matter what, and it's probably my favorite basketball movie.
All right. Any others that you think deserve real consideration?
None that come to mind right off the top of my head. I'm sure you have a few there.
It's one of those, again, this is where nostalgia, you have to go back and think, when was the last time I really watched that movie, you know? Of course, there's the goofy stuff, like Teen Wolf, where you're like, you can't include that because, you know, Michael J. Fox is like 5'3", and you're just, no,
right.
we're not going with that. And of course, the biggest guy on his team is the guy who plays the annoying bad guy in Pee Wee's Big Adventure. So
yep.
It's like, no, you can't go with a movie like that when we're talking about actual basketball scenes. What's the one with Robbie Benson? The name of it's escaping me right now.
I don't know.
Yeah, and exactly. It wasn't that memorable.
Not High School Musical?
No, it was not a High School Musical. Although I think Zac Efron should be making a basketball movie any day now. I'm hearing the reviews for Baywatch are actually pretty good.
Oh, really? Because there was like 16 on Rotten Tomatoes from the critics.
When have critics ever known what's fun?
True.
Again, this movie has The Rock in it. There is absolutely 0.0% chance that you and I will both not have seen it within the next month and a half.
That's true.
Yeah. So
Rock 2020.
Rock 2020. I don't even care who his running mate is.
Nope. I hope it's Tom Hanks.
That would be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. But no, so this was, yeah, Zac Efron should be making a basketball movie, you know, soon enough.
Do you like Mike?
No.
What's the KD movie?
Oh,
didn't KD have a movie?
Yeah, Thunderstruck.
Thunderstruck,
which is one of the all-time worst movies
of
all time.
It has to be a porno, right?
You would think
Thunderstruck
so.
Thunderstruck is a porno name movie.
But
name me a better one that's not porno. Thunderstruck.
I'm coming up with a blank right there right now.
Oh,
so,
man.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to have to accept that.
Another reason KD went to Golden State.
Celtic Pride. Great book, awful movie.
Mm. When are they going to do a biopic of the Dream Team?
That's a good question.
Because that has to be, like, the practices and all that, and all those stories that come out, Chuck going out and partying.
Oh, yeah.
They would be an awesome biopic.
Yeah.
I think we're too close to the character still. Maybe another 10, 15 years?
Yeah, I would say probably about 8 to 10 years down the road, we could see something like that come out.
The gambling at the end.
I'm still waiting on us to get a movie about the 1972 Olympics, which you know, Doug Collins will never ever let go of, nor should he, because the Americans got screwed in that match.
That's true.
But yeah, so
that sounds like a Ron Howard film.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Ooh, maybe can we get Ron Howard and Clint Eastwood to work on that together?
Oh, true. Clint Eastwood would be too brooding though.
I'm okay with that.
Should
be. It's the early 70s. It should be brooding.
Well, yeah, that is Clint Eastwood equals 1970s.
That's true. I mean, he still thinks it is 1974. So
I'm all right with it.
I'm okay with that too. Sixth Man, again, Kadeem Hardison, Marlon Wayans in that one. The actual basketball, not so great. We did have a little basketball cameo in. What's the Brendan Fraser, Elizabeth Hurley, where she plays the devil.
Oh, what is that movie? I see the cover. I see the VHS cover.
Yep,
I can see it on DVD, but I don't know the name of it, though. Did they play basketball on that?
Yeah, remember one of his wishes, she turns him into a 7-foot-tall basketball player who speaks, like,
oh,
you know, in monosyllabic grunts. And, of course, you know, the one thing he forgets about, and something you would expect if you're a 7-foot-tall basketball player, he's coming up a little short in the shorts department, if you know what I mean. So, he didn't hang on to that wish for very long. What is the name of that?
We're forgetful today.
I am forgetful today. I mean, I'm usually right on top of stuff like this.
I'm something usually on the bottom?
I don't think that's how that works.
What?
All right, so any other movies basketball-wise?
Basketball-wise?
I mean, there's got to be at least one. No, that is not a basketball movie.
No?
No.
It just has a basketball. The Basketball Diaries?
That's actually not a bad one. I actually like that movie, but the actual basketball play, not so much in that one. They had disqualified Hoop Dreams,
which is fine.
A documentary.
It's a documentary.
So, yeah.
I didn't like that.
Oh, The Air Up There, Kevin Bacon, where he goes to Africa and discovers that kid, and of course finds his brother there as well.
I got you one. Air Bud.
No, absolutely not.
No?
Absolutely not.
Finding Forrester. Little D Wade game with that main character.
I mean, if we're gonna go that route, I would rather go with Cornbread Earl and Me.
Okay.
You know, I prefer that one. And of course, we cannot forget Juana Man.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So
it's a classic.
That Robbie Benson movie is called One on One.
One on One. Yeah,
And it's absolutely awful. I don't recommend it at all.
Yeah. I don't know, Air Bud.
Oh, you
all-time classic.
You said Thunderstruck was the best in terms of porno names. Nope, we've got one called Soul in the Hole.
Soul in the Hole.
There's your winner.
There is the winner this week of porno names. Please tweet us new basketball themed movies with porno names.
I like it. You can tweet him at @bballhipster, me at 3SOB. That wraps up this episode of the As Yet Unnamed Podcast for Three Shades of Blue.